So we're going to read together from John's Gospel, from John chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. In case you're wondering why on the screen it has 21, then 1FF, that means forward, so from verse 1 on. In other words, I hadn't decided what verse I'm going to stop reading at, and I will decide when I get there. And do you know, it's such a powerful chapter that I might actually just read the whole thing. So I was allowing myself scope, just in case you're wondering, had I mistyped something. Anyway, John chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved and was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your written word. We pray that you would transform the written word and the spoken word and make it a living word in each of our lives. For we pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. This past few days since Thursday, I've had a lodger at the rectory. And it's not my mum, in case you're wondering. but it is a four-legged lodger. And my brother and sister-in-law and family have been in Scotland since Thursday, and as always, we're left with Harvey. And some of you will know Harvey, some of you have seen him, some of you are blessed that you haven't. He's a beagle, and he's 4 years old or thereabouts, coming up on four probably. Yes, 2013 they got him. And so he's three and a half probably at this stage. And Harvey hasn't as much beans in him now as he did have maybe a year ago, but he's still sprightly yet. And he's one of those strange little dogs in that 90% of the time he's fairly obedient. And he does most of the time what I say for him to do. But there's occasions when he doesn't. And it's just because of the breed of the dog. He's just a hound, really. Beagles are miniature hounds, and he gets a sniff of something and he's just totally distracted. He's very easily distracted. But Harvey, why am I telling you all this? Well, simply, Harvey, when he does wrong, he knows it. And he look at you with those big puppy dog eyes, you know, the big brown eyes looking up at you, and the ears drooped and the tail down, and he knows that he has done wrong, and he's looking, oh, please don't be cross with me, type thing. Or if you're sitting eating, and he'll come with the same look, give me a bit. But I kind of think that, in a way, describes a little bit of my relationship with Jesus. And probably yours as well, if you'd only but admit it. And that of Simon Peter's. We know that Simon Peter disowned Jesus three times. Three times he said, I do not know that man. I don't know him. And in one of the gospel accounts, I think it's Mark's, but of the resurrection story, and I referred to this last Sunday morning, we see that when Jesus was raised from the dead, Mary Magdalene and the other woman went to the tomb. The angel of the Lord said to them, go and tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus is not here, he is risen. And I have been studying at that little verse in my mind and toying with it and playing it through. And, you know, why was Peter singled out? Was the gospel writers telling us that at that particular moment in time, Peter had chosen to remove himself from God's love by denying Jesus three times? And that's why he wasn't just included in the general go and tell the disciples and Peter. Or is it more significant than that? Is it because he would become the world-renowned leader of the church on the day of Pentecost? Is it because there was a special job laid aside for him, and so it was go and tell the other disciples and Peter? For example, if someone said to you something to be communicated to the church, they might say to you, go and tell the church and tell the rector, tell Mark, and get him to announce it. You know, is it that sort of important place that they've placed Peter in? And I'm not sure. I'm still trying to work it out. And if you have an answer for me, then share it with me. I'm still trying to figure it out in my own mind. But I somehow think that John's Gospel, John chapter 21, gives us the answer. And it shows us a side to Peter that's a wee bit like Harvey when Harvey does wrong. Peter knew that he had displeased God. He knew that he had stepped out of the Lord's favor. He knew that he had sinned by disowning him. Peter had put his own safety and his own life before his relationship with Jesus. You could say, in fact, that he actually was breaching one of the commandments and having no other gods but me. Well, Peter was making his own life a god. Don't worship anything but the Lord thy God. Well, Peter was worshiping himself rather than worshiping the Savior of the world at that Good Friday event. But in this, we kind of see that repentant puppy dog look about Peter. Because John tells us, and John is the writer of this gospel, and John is the one who we believe is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter said to the other disciples, I'm going to go and fish. He's going to go and do the one thing that he knew the most the one thing that he knew how to do. It was his comfort zone. He said, I'm going to fish. And they said, we're going to go with you. Then early in the morning, we're told that they saw Jesus walking towards them on the shore. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, in other words, it was John, said, it's the Lord. After the miraculous catch, he says, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. It's him himself. Look, look. And Peter, we're told in this, pulled on his outer garment around him. He was covering up his body and nearly like covering of shame. And he jumped into the water and he ran for the shore as much as he could. And he got there and he fell at Jesus' feet. He was like that repentant dog as such. He was like Harvey when Harvey does something wrong. And he came sort of nearly hesitantly towards the Master. And Jesus saw him. And I can imagine the compassion and the mercy and the forgiveness. We were thinking this morning a lot about forgiveness. I can imagine just all those things in Jesus' eyes. When Harvey looks up at us in that way, he's wanting to see what's in our eyes. Are we cross? Or is it actually love-filled eyes? He's listening for the tone of our voice. You know, I have to laugh. Harvey, from when he was a pup, has the habit of jumping up on almost everybody. And he'll come to Mum, and he'll jump up on Mum, and Mum will go, now, Harvey, you're not allowed to do that. And he'll look at her, and then he'll do it again. And he'll come to me, and he just sits. Because he knows the tone of voice. And I just go, Harvey. And he sits. Doesn't he? 99% of the time, he'll just now plop himself down and hold the paw up. He knows the tone. And Peter would have been looking for that in Jesus. What sort of response is he going to get? Because up until this, Peter had never been on his own with Jesus since the resurrection. And it was Thomas, who we heard about this morning, had previously been reinstated by those wonderful words, stop doubting and just believe. And Thomas crying, my Lord and my God. And so Peter rushed to him just to see, what's he going to say to me? Am I forgiven or am I actually cast out forever? And then we have this wonderful conversation between Peter and Jesus, where Jesus says to him, Simon, notice how he doesn't use his Christian name as such. He uses his former name. Verse 15, he says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus did know it, because Jesus knows all things. And then Jesus looked at him a second time, and again he said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. There's a slight difference in the two questions, the first two. The first one is, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And what I think Jesus is asking Peter here is, do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than your brother disciples? Do you love me more than the fish that's on the fire? Do you love me more than your physical and your mental needs? Do you love me with your body, heart, mind, and soul? Are you now going to put me first before everything else? And then the second time is just like rubber stamping it. Simon, do you truly love me? Forsaking all others, do you truly love me? And then the third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? So the first time is, do you love me more than these? Second time is, do you truly love me? The third time is, do you love me? And each time, Simon replies appropriately. And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. And with each question, Jesus gives him a responsibility. Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. In other words, look after the young in their faith. Help them not to fall the way that you fell. Use the examples of your own life to teach them and help them to grow in that faith. Transform them from milk to solid food. And then the second time he says, take care of my sheep. He was making Peter a pastor. he was saying to him, look after everybody in the church. Not just the little ones, but everybody. You have a responsibility. And then the third time, Jesus says, feed them. He gives them not just a searching ministry, not just a pastoring ministry, but he also gives them a teaching ministry. He says, take my word and tell it to them, teach it to them, show them how to live their lives the way they should. Jesus at this point was fully reinstated, and Jesus rubber stamps it at the end of verse 19 by saying two very simple words that we read in Matthew chapter 4. At the very beginning, when Peter was first called, Jesus once again says to him, now follow me. Forsaking all others, follow me, even to the point of death. And Peter does. Scripture shows us, history shows us, that Peter followed him to the point of death. Peter followed him to a cross himself. Where tradition tells us that Peter, his arms were stretched out, just as Jesus predicts in this passage. He says, Peter, you're going to go where you don't want to go. You're going to have your arms stretched out, even though you don't want it to happen, it's going to happen. That happened. Tradition tells us that Peter was granted his last wish, where he said, please crucify me upside down, because I am not worthy to die the way my Lord died. Peter followed right to the end. And so the challenge that comes out of that for each of us tonight is that all of us need to be a wee bit like Harvey and need to come crawling to the Master and look up at him with those puppy dog eyes and see the compassion and the mercy and the love that flows from him, and then do the work that he has given us to do. Seek first his kingdom and all other things will be added unto you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story in John's Gospel. We thank you that you reinstated Peter, and for us that fills us with hope and with love, that we can come to you no matter what we have done, even we have denied you, that we can come to you and seek your forgiveness and your love. For we pray it in your name. Amen.